breaking. The White House says that Trump has discussed withdrawing from NATO and will discuss it during his meeting with NATO Secretary General Rutte.
Turning back to our world lead, White House Press Secretary Karoline Leavitt teased a meeting between the president and NATO Secretary General Mark Rutte today, saying Trump may discuss the idea of the U.S. leaving NATO entirely after expressing his displeasure with American allies for not supporting the U.S. and Israeli war against Iran. NATO Secretary General Mark Rutte is here with me now, and you just came from a meeting at the White House with President Trump. He's not been hiding his frustrations with NATO countries. How was the meeting? Did he say he's withdrawing?
Well, let me be absolutely clear. He is clearly disappointed.
That's a really bad answer. The answer to that question was supposed to be an unequivocal no. He absolutely is not leaving, but of course NATO is going to step up. We're going to do better. Oof.
Not been hiding his frustrations with NATO countries. How was the meeting? Did he say he's withdrawing?
Well, let me be absolutely clear. He is clearly disappointed with many NATO allies. And I can see his point. But at the same time, I was also able to point to the fact that the large majority of European nations has been helpful with basing, with logistics, with overflights, with making sure that they live.
He's saying that they had a debate and he was fighting for NATO's life, but he got no guarantees. Trump said he was leaving. He told him he was leaving 100%.
Lived up to the commitments, and there is also widespread support for the fact that degrading the nuclear and the ballistic missile capacity from Iran was really crucial, and that only the U.S.
unless
was
he
able
says something,
at this
unless
point,
he curves this back around at the
to
end.
Do that. Hey, and let's not forget, there's Keir Starmer, the British Prime Minister, who is bringing together now a coalition of over 30 countries, even over 40. But 34 participated yesterday in a planning meeting with
military. He would have brought it at the beginning. This guy's media smart. He doesn't want this clip. He would have said it at the beginning. Fuck.
Leaders to make sure that free sea lanes, being able to use the Strait of Hormuz going forward, it will be possible. So I also pointed him to the positive. But clearly, this was a very frank, a very open discussion, but also discussion between two good friends.
Did the president say he was going to try to withdraw from NATO, or at the very least not support NATO as much as other presidents have?
Well, as I said, there is the disappointment, clearly. But at the same time, he was also listening careful to my arguments of what is happening. And I also pointed him to the fact that it was his leadership which brought about the Hague spending commitment. So the 5%, which is a transformational change in NATO. It is a transformational legacy he leaves behind. This is NATO 3.0, the Europeans being able to take more care for their own defense. So a stronger Europe and a stronger NATO.
The Wall Street Journal is reporting that the president is weighing punishing some NATO allies for not being helpful to the U.S. and Israel during the war. Quote, the proposal would involve moving U.S. troops out of NATO member countries deemed unhelpful to the Iran war effort and station them in countries that were more supportive of the U.S. military campaign. Did the president talk about that at all today?
Again, it was a very frank, it was a very open discussion. He clearly told me what he thought of what happened over the last couple of weeks.
Some countries specifically said, you can't use our bases, you can't even fly over our airspace. Spain, France.
Yeah, but listen, the large majority, including France, of European nations has been doing what they committed before they would do in a case like this. So Europe, as a platform of power projection for the United States, was in full play over the last 6 weeks. And yes, it is true, not all European nations lived up to those commitments, and I totally understand that he is disappointed about it.
On a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being not worried at all, 10 being terrified, where do you leave Washington thinking President Trump, your opinion of President Trump wanting to leave NATO? Are you 1, I'm not worried at all, 10, I'm really worried Trump is going to pull out of NATO?
Well, I'm not going to get into that, answering that question.
I'm just trying to get an answer.
No, I understand that,
But remember, think about what he would say if the answer were otherwise. If this is why I'm saying, like, you already know, Trump was telling him that he wants to leave, or he's telling him that he's going to leave. if Trump had given him any kind of assurance whatsoever that we're not leaving, we're still talking, you know, we're just whatever, he would be jubilantly jumping up and down to say that with exuberance. He would be jumping up and down saying, oh, no, no, he said he's not leaving. He's not leaving. He's not leaving. Right. Him not giving an answer on this is makes it pretty clear that Trump wants to leave. Yeah.
That's question.
I'm just trying to get to me.
No, I understand that.
Trump couldn't leave without Congress. What a dumb fucking thing to say. Why would you say that? What do you mean? Trump can't leave without Congress. What, because there was a bill? Don't worry. Don't worry, guys. Get Hutch in here. Trump will leave, but the Supreme Court guardrails will tell him that he can't. And 2 years from now, when they finally hear the case, and Russia has taken over half of Europe, or whatever the fuck happens, the Supreme Court will put us back in NATO. Don't worry, guys.
Till today, this was a meeting between friends. Because we like each other. I really admire his leadership. And he knows what he did in The Hague last year at the NATO summit has been crucial. And NATO allies are with him when it comes to the aims of taking out, as I said, degrading the nuclear and the ballistic missile capacity of the Iranians.
Yeah, but Europeans wanted to do it through diplomatic means.
Yeah. I know, but we run the risk that this would lead into the North Korea moment, where you talk so long that at a certain moment, it's beyond the point where you can still get this done, because then they would get their hands on the nuclear capacity. Mm-hmm. And that is basically a big risk for Europe. It is existential for Israel. It is existential for the Middle East. So the whole world is safer by this president degrading those capabilities.
But there are a lot
and
of
this
Europe.
Is by many in Europe yeah. acknowledged, and they understand that continuing talking to get this done would have brought us potentially past that moment where we can still deal with it.
So you talked about the statement of NATO allied countries about the Strait of Hormuz, about trying to figure out a way forward. Here is the White House Press Secretary Karoline Leavitt when asked about the joint statement from the NATO governments about the Strait of Hormuz. Here's what she had to say.
I have a direct quote from the President of the United States on NATO, and I will share it with all of you. They were tested and they failed.
Do you agree that NATO countries, some of them, were tested and failed?
Some of them, yes, but a large majority of European countries, and that's what we discussed today, have done what they promised before in a case like this.
It's also, I think, noteworthy that, so Rutte is known as like the Trump whisperer because he knows exactly how to suck them off. I want to say, I haven't listened every time he's spoken to the American media, but I feel like right now, this is the strongest defense that he has granted of European countries, because earlier he kept saying, you know, that what was he saying, like Spain and Germany have offered bases or whatever. Like he was giving a lot of strong defenses of like NATO partners. Usually when he's speaking, he's throwing all of Europe under the bus, because I guess it's what he has to do as the NATO guy in order to get Trump to stay on board. The fact that he's offering lots of defenses of European countries right now makes it seem like we're preparing for like an exit, I guess. But I don't know, man.
Because they know that when it comes to NATO,
or at least Trump is saying he wants
to protect the United States, because the U.S. needs a secure Atlantic and a secure Arctic and a secure Europe to stay safe here, the U.S. mainland. But it is also there to make sure that, of course, Europe is safe, and to be this platform of power projection for the United States. So what the U.S. did with Iran, they could do because so many European countries lived up to those commitments. Not all of them. And I totally understand his disappointment about that. But it is therefore a nuanced picture. It is not just saying it is black or white.
How many NATO allied countries, a lot or a little, thought that the war that President Trump and Israel waged against Iran was illegal, was an illegal war? Do you think that's a prevalent view?
No. No, because NATO has always taken the position that degrading these capabilities of nuclear and the ballistic missiles is crucial, and that Iran can never get its hands on those two capabilities. There is widespread support for that point of view.
I've also heard the argument that NATO countries weren't involved because NATO is a defensive organization, and this was an offensive war, a war by choice. Obviously, a nuclear Iran, an Iran with nuclear weapons is not acceptable to NATO, but that the president didn't have to wage this war at that moment. Is that part of this calculus at all?
Yeah, but you cannot defend yourself without being lethal. And look at NATO. The Germans now spending in 2029 $153 billion, twice as much as in 2021. They will spend the same as the French and the Brits combined. The whole of NATO is now on 2%. Last year, NATO spent 20% more. Canada and the European NATO allies.
Trump just truthed out. It was an hour and a half ago. NATO wasn't there when we needed them, and they won't be there if we need them again. Remember, Greenland, that big, poorly run piece of ice. Or wait, remember Greenland? Remember Greenland, that big, poorly run piece of ice? I don't even know what the fuck he just died. What he means there.
Thanks to President Trump's pushing for this, Trump 45, but also Trump 47 at the Hague summit. And then we agreed collectively to get to this 5% of defense spending. I mean, without him, we would never have gotten there.
So the Strait of Hormuz, obviously, that's been a real crisis for so many in Europe. I read that in Italy, they even have school by Zoom because of the gas crisis in Italy right now, almost as if it's COVID era and other European countries have been hit hard. Are the Strait of Hormuz open as far as you can tell?
Well, of course, we have to see over the next couple of days what happens.
But as of now, I mean.
I don't have the intelligence now at my fingertips to give you that answer. But I think over the next couple of days we will know. And it is absolutely true that for the Europeans, but also for the Asians, look at Japan, look at Korea, look at Australia. And other countries like Thailand and the Philippines, they get huge volumes in terms of their oil and gas, etc., from through the Strait of Hormuz. So for them, it's crucial. It's crucial for Europeans.
Yeah.
And this is why Keir Starmer, the British Prime Minister, brought together this coalition, making sure that answering the questions what, where, and when it comes to the Strait of Hormuz, we can act collectively.
When President Trump threatened to kill the entire Iranian civilization.
Jesus.
Did that bother you at all as a diplomat?
Well, you know, what I always say when it comes to what leaders are saying, I'm not commenting on everything. What I want you to know is that I support the president, and I know large parts of Europe do when it comes to taking out the capacity of Iran to export chaos to the region, to Europe, to the whole world. They are one of the main enablers of Russia's war effort in Ukraine. We all know this.
Yeah, all the drones.
With the drones. It is an existential threat to Israel if they would get their hands on nuclear capability. It is great to try to negotiate it away, but we also always knew that with North Korea, it took too long, and then North Korea had its hand on the nuclear, and then you cannot negotiate any longer, and they have that power.
Is the world safer today than it was before the war was started?
Absolutely. Because, and this is thanks to President Trump's leadership, degrading these capabilities is really very important for your and my safety here in the U.S., in Europe, in the Middle East.
Are you worried at all about the increased ties between Iran and China that have seemed to have been strengthened during this period?
Well, but let's not be naive. We know that these ties were there. We know that when it comes to the war in Ukraine, for example, there's Russia, North Korea, Belarus, China, Iran working together. We see that these theaters of the Indo-Pacific, the Middle East, and NATO, so Europe and transatlantic, are getting more and more interconnected. And you cannot look at this from one angle and then say totally separated from the rest. This is all influencing each other. It is Russia exporting its missile technology to North Korea, giving money to the Iranians in return for the drone technology, which the Iranians use to pay for their proxies in the Middle East to create, indeed, the chaos they are doing there. So we know this. Let's not be naive.
Let's not be naive.
NATO Secretary General Mark Rutte, diplomatic as always. Thank you, sir. Really appreciate it.
Jesus. Okay. Somebody said Tim went hard on this guy.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to The Bulwark. I'm Tim Miller. Delighted to be here with New Jersey Congressman Josh Gottheimer. Sir, I think maybe we have some disagreements over the Iran war we can hash out a little bit. And so I want to get into that. But first, just because things are moving so fast, I just want to kind of lay out where things are as we tape. Obviously, this is Tuesday afternoon. The president this morning was posting about how a whole civilization will die tonight, never to be brought back again. About an hour ago, Pakistan put out a public statement saying that they're asking for a 2-week ceasefire. We're seeing some reporting literally right now as we're talking that maybe there's some optimism about that from both sides. We'll see how it shakes out. So that's where things stand. When we scheduled this conversation, you'd put out a statement talking about how you were different from some of your other your fellow Democrats.
Wait. Do you think that Americans should feel ashamed when interacting with their closest allies, like Europe and Canada, given the insanity displayed by your leadership? Because even in here, I hear so many retarded takes from Americans that can't admit their wrongdoing because criticism is coming from a European, so they'd rather assume a Trump-like attitude rather than admit wrongdoing. Well, I don't understand what you mean by that. Bad gateway popped up. Wait, why?
Because you were more proactive in supporting the decision to act against the Iranian regime. I'm wondering if that's where you still stand here about a month in.
Well, so, you know, what hasn't changed is my view that actually, if you look at my release from a month ago, I think it's very consistent with my position now, which is one, we've got to do everything we can to crush the Iranian government in the sense of going back to the late 70s. This regime has literally killed scores of Americans.
Oh, my God.
Our allies, attacked and killed our service members and our bases. Through their terror proxies, killed thousands more. None of that's changed. Uh-huh. Their banner is death to America, as you know. We're the great Satan, according to them. They took our embassy and turned it into a hate museum against Americans, right? So, you know, and they continue to threaten our democracy and freedom. None of that's changed at all. They also, you know, from I'm on the Intelligence Committee, without going into specifics, although some of this has been declassified by the Secretary of State talking about it. But as you know, they've been very aggressive, both in their nuclear program, but also in their ballistic missile and drone programs, further threatening our country, especially if they build, if they have enough capacity to stop us from getting to a bomb, if they choose to jump the line and enrich. So that hasn't changed. And I also said the reason why I voted for the War Powers Resolution back then, that we voted on in the Congress, as you know, was that the administration had completely failed, in my opinion, to make the case to the American public and to Congress, right? And in terms of what the reasoning was for going in, and also what the objectives were when they went in and what they are today. They've still failed completely to outline those objectives to me in a way that to the American public and to the Congress, including progress made. And, you know, the president gave...
I tried to explain the second part of the message. Yeah, I saw it. I just don't understand what the... To me, it seems like it feeds into the Americans being inherently selfish argument you were sort of entertaining the other day. I appreciate when Anna, because tends to highlight how unwilling Americans are to hear opposing opinions of different culture. Everybody that's a Democrat or everybody that's on the left, I'm pretty sure feels like horrendous about this administration. So I don't know exactly what you're... I don't know what you're looking for, what kind of statement you're looking for from Americans. I don't know.
I gave a speech a few days ago, which probably should have given, in my opinion, on day one of all this. And so that hasn't changed either. Like, I think they've completely failed to
Did the speech clarify anything for you? I didn't feel like I got a lot of clarification we're doing this.
Did it clarify anything for me? No, I mean, I think it at least took pains to say to the country, hey, by the way, here's why what we're worried about in Iran, right? And here's why we're doing this, which the president really hadn't done. And by the way, their objectives, as you know, completely shifting all over the place for the last, you know, 40 plus days. They're like we're all over the map. Yeah. It's like that scene in Airplane, you know, like when they were like, we're at 5,000 feet, 8,000 feet, 10,000 feet. They're all over the place. And I kind of felt like that was the way when I'm you watch their communications on this of like what their objectives were. Was it terror? You know, running their terror program, their ballistic missile program on drones, is it getting to a regime change, right? Which is a whole different, that's a whole different objective. They talked about the Navy and diminishing the Navy, which I think is critically important. But again, you know, it's without laying these things out and understanding what victory looks like, it's tough to go after it.
Right. So do you have any sense of what the objectives are right now?
No, I mean, if you go on, do I have any more clarity publicly from what I think the objectives are, like without shifting? Ultimately, no. I mean, I think what they've said consistently, if you're looking at like the map of where they've been consistent and what the president said, it's concern about the nuclear them having a nuclear weapon, right? That's consistent. And they've consistently talked about diminishing the Navy. Otherwise, the rest of it is kind of shifted all over the place, and by the way, they have not once come before a congressional committee to talk to us about whether there's one. And I think as a member of Congress and as a member of an oversight committee related to that, completely have a, I have a huge problem with that.
So we're aligned on all those critiques. I guess then my question is, why not just oppose this clearly? I don't understand why there'd be any possible interest from a Democratic member in a war when we don't know what the objectives
are. What's he asking them to oppose? Or
are when you can't trust the people running it, when they haven't made their case to you? Why not just oppose it?
As somebody who is obviously on the Intelligence Committee and who's focused on the Middle East for a long time, containing the threat, right? Containing Iran, which I know the government there, not the people who they've massacred tens of thousands of indiscriminately, including children. But knowing what kind of threat Iran poses, right? I believe the importance of stopping that threat is critical. But, you know, there's different ways to stop a threat. Right?
Sure.
And especially, I don't believe regime change right now, for instance, is something that you could do unless you're going to put troops on the ground. And I don't support that. Right. So that doesn't mean that I don't still believe it's a threat. And I work for America, not for a political party.
Hey, so this time of year, I'm trying to stay consistent with eating well. But between work, workouts and commuting, cooking just isn't happening as much as it should. Tempo Meals, however, gives me fresh, balanced meals ready in 2 minutes so I can eat the way I want
2 minutes
without losing time. Each meal is perfectly portioned for lunch or dinner, and it's ready in just 2 minutes. That means real food, real fast, without the sad desk lunch or the drive-through regret. With 20 new recipes every week made from nutrient-rich ingredients, Tempo keeps things exciting and helps you stay consistent with healthy eating habits.
What? That's awesome.
Even busy athletes like Maria Sharapova swear by Tempo for balanced meals that help them stay on top of their wellness goals. And no matter your goals, there's a Tempo meal for you. So protein-packed meals with up to 30 grams of protein, calorie-conscious, or even GLP-1 balanced meals. It's convenient but flexible enough to fit the way you want to eat. For a limited time, Tempo is offering our listeners 60% off their first box. Go to TempoMeals.com/BulwarkTakes. That's TempoMeals.com/BulwarkTakes for 60. That's 60% off your first box.
God damn.
TempoMeals.com/BulwarkTakes. Rules and restrictions may apply.
So I guess I'm just confused. So do you want him to keep going? Like, what do you want to happen tonight? Like, would you like him to say, you know what, we're pulling out of this. We're going to try to do a face-saving deal. Or do you want them to keep pressing forward?
What I'd like is to find out we get a deal, which is going to reopen the straits, is going to make sure that we can get gas prices down and get, right, because we've got 20% of the world's oil going through there and gas going through there. I'd like to know some commitments on their nuclear program and their drone and ballistic missile program and understand what we're going to do financially to contain their terror proxy program, you know, supporting Hamas and Hezbollah and Palestine Islamic Jihad, all threats us.
Isn't
right?
Isn't that where we were 6 weeks ago? And the strait was open 6 weeks ago. They had bombed the nuclear facilities last year.
Tim, I mean, I'm hoping we find out. Oh, you mean if we massively diminish those programs, that would be a good thing.
I guess if the regime is still in charge.
What is the big check mark on your screen? I don't know. It's the DGG chat. I don't know why it's being weird right now. Or what? Or maybe it's OBS. Or it's the OmniJet. Refresh. I'll try refreshing it again. We'll see if that does anything. Good luck.
Though, if they've had a regime transition from an 86-year-old guy that was going to die soon anyway to his son, and the IRGC is still in charge, and they've demonstrated that they have control over the strait, and, you know, I mean, sure, they've lost some ships and missiles, but that could be replenished. Like, great. Like, why would we did that? We caused all this harm. We caused all this international harm. We've pissed off our allies in Europe and Asia and Australia. People at home have higher gas prices. Like, for to what? For what end? We got rid of a couple of their missiles and ships. Who cares?
Don't say who cares in that, because what if we told you, hey, by the way, we've set back their missile, drone, and
who the fuck is this Republican? Even if the Trump admin were to accomplish every goal or objective, this was not a good war. Nothing about this is such a who is this guy?
And nuclear program several years. Would you consider that a win or a loss?
I mean, they said that last year, and now we're in a war with them again. And I think that China and Russia could replenish them.
China and Russia, we're seeing Russia's replenishing them now. Obviously, that's how they shot down our plane. Like, they didn't, you know, have... So there are other ways for them to access weapons going forward.
Again, say we knew that we significantly set back their program in that regard. Would you still... You would say, well, it doesn't really matter.
I would say that's still a loss, yeah, because we've given them... Now they know they can control the Strait, so we've given them more power and leverage. We've alienated our European allies and our Asian allies, and people in America who had no idea what the purpose was of this war, who did not feel at all threatened by their ballistic missile capabilities, are going to suffer major economic consequences. And they're suffering at the pump already, but with the supply chain disruption, there's going to be massive economic consequences.
FYI, this guy's in a very tough district and is both sidesing as an ethos really hard. I can respect that, but like... on the war? Like, this isn't even a popular issue with conservatives right now, right? Where's the pressure coming from to both sides on this?
Consequences to this. And so that is the deal. We pushed it back their capabilities 2 years to screw over our own people. That feels like a terrible deal.
Well, not in the sense. Here's where I look at it just a little differently. And I hear, by the way, that perspective. I would say I look at it from the angle of, if it turns out that we've significantly diminished capabilities when it comes to drone, missile, and nuclear. And we actually are successful doing that. If that's where it turns out, and some of this stuff.
Okay. I hope this doesn't become a thing of like using, I don't know how you describe this grammar, but like using a noun to describe a thing. Like, I hope we've diminished their nuclear. What the fuck? Shut the fuck up. Speak like a fucking adult. We've diminished their nuclear weapons capability or their nuclear weapons program. This, like, we've diminished their cyber, their nuclear. Don't talk like Trump like a fucking retard. Holy shit, that drives me crazy. Like, when Trump says it, it's retarded and it sounds retarded. Please do not adopt these things as ordinary speaking mechanisms. Fuck, give me nuclear back over whatever the fuck this grammar is.
People doing that. If that's where it turns out, and some of the stuff I can't talk about, but we also need to learn more and see what kind of any kind of negotiated ending of this is. Again, until I see that, I don't know. But say that let's just play let's just play that out. If that happens, I'd say that's a huge win, because what I was worried about, what I was worried about, and it's not something that we should just brush aside as Americans who care about our security, their development of their ballistic missile program development was not something that we should just look the other way on, and their drone program development is not something that we should just look the other way on. And you could say, well, that doesn't matter. But as somebody who's worried about our interests in the region and worried about us,
What about our issues and interests at home, though? I mean,
you shouldn't consider that point. Even if we got every single conceivable concession possible from Iran, the way that we entered the war was dubious at best. People have too much of a... the process and the procedure matters. Just because there might be a good outcome, this is so stupid. I don't even know how to like. This is not real. I don't even know why I'm watching this. I don't know why I'm doing anything. Where's Ark Raiders at? Where's Moody at? Like, if you were to walk up to a person on the street and punch them in the face, and it's like without the hospital, it's like, well, what do you think about punching that guy? It's like, I don't know. I need to wait and see what they find at the hospital. It might be that the guy got punched, went to the hospital, and they found out he had that syphilis virus that Chubby was talking about, and now they managed to cure the dude. So we're gonna have to wait and see how it turns out. Or it might be that once he goes to the hospital and they run his record and a cop sees him, maybe he's got like an outstanding warrant or a record as being like a rapist or something, and they managed to catch this guy. So I've got to wait and see. No, motherfucker, what do you mean you have to wait and see? No, Jesus Christ. Holy fuck. Let me get a Red Bull. Hold on. Fuck.
Case, how can you make case to the American people that the Iranian missile program was a real threat to America? And it was a threat that was so great that it was worth harming their economic interests.
Do you think them having a nuclear weapon would be a disaster?
Yeah.
I think it would be a disaster. I am supportive of Iran not having nuclear weapons. However... we should all agree that that's a bad thing. That's a case that you should be able to make to the American public. Make that case to the American people. Get the proper authorization for war, or at least from Congress, and then go and do it. Like, you can't... this.
Sure, but they've been on the cusp of having nuclear weapon for a long time. We had a deal with them under the Obama administration that Trump had taken us out of. There are other potential options for preventing them from having
nuclear weapons. We did nothing to diminish their terror program. Like, you know, that deal did nothing to address their...
Bro, Israel has diminished their terror program. What are you talking about? Hezbollah got fucking pagered out the fucking ass. Israel's been bombing fucking Lebanon for like a year now. Assad is gone in Syria. Hezbollah doesn't have a strong government to coordinate with anymore in Syria or Lebanon. Like, their terror capacity, their capabilities have been severely diminished in the region. This is such a post hoc.
Sure.
And do you think that we're safer though today from terror? That Americans are safer, that Americans are safer from a terror threat today than we were a month ago?
No.
It seems to me that the risk of retaliation
probably
is higher.
Yeah, I don't know about retaliation, but like
a terror, the threat of terror is probably higher.
Everybody's
today,
got it like fucked
assume.
Over.
I think that, you know, part of my frustration, and getting back to your central question where you started this.
Yeah.
Part of my frustration, because, you know, I'm just giving you a sense of like what I, you asked me, what would I hope to get out of this? That's what I would hope to get at. Part of my frustration is some of the questions that we're both asking each other, we don't know the answers to. And that's actually what's deeply frustrating.
But that's not acceptable. Not knowing the answer means that it doesn't matter what the outcome is. It's bad. Like if you tell your girlfriend, if she says you can fuck me in my sleep and you're like, that's awesome, I'm going to come over tomorrow and do it while you're having a sleepover with 10 friends and you sneak into the room at night and you don't know who anybody is and you just fuck one girl at random, it's not, you don't get to say, well, we'll know when they wake up if we did something good or not. Like this is such a stupid argument. It is not conceivable to me that a real life adult human being is making this argument. This is such a stupid argument. I can't believe that this is a real argument.
If some of the answer turned out to be yes, some things I know the answer to, but let's say that some of the things turned out to be yes. Like I actually would come down and say the country, Americans are safer because of it. If it turns out the answers are no, or actually we have not diminished certain things that I think we have as well as I'd like to know, and that's in the end we'll find out. Well, then, by the way, then I'll have a different opinion about it.
You're on the Intelligence Committee, though. If you don't know...
Like, nope. Yeah, well, bro, you're not even like a random dude. You're not even a random member of Congress. Like, if you don't know the answer yet, then it's wrong. It doesn't matter what the end result is.
Nobody knows. So why not oppose this? I just don't understand how we could not just be clearly in opposition to a program where we don't know what the objectives are. We can't trust the people running it. They lie. They're liars.
Yeah.
They have demonstrated a lack of competence, at least at the political level. The military has obviously demonstrated competence. But, you know, we're going to trust Trump and Pete Hegseth and just take our chances. Hopefully it works. That's where you're at.
I fundamentally know that the Iranian government is an enemy of our country and very close allies with our other enemies, China and Russia and North Korea. I know that they are dangerously close to having a nuclear weapon. And that's
But what have you done? Think of how much you've empowered. Dude, this is like this is not real. I don't know why I'm giving commentary on this. This isn't real. None of this is. I'm not even saying that like ironically, none of this will stand. Whatever the deal we've made is not going to stand because it's ridiculous. But like if it did stand, imagine how much of a lifeline we've thrown to Iran and to Russia. The lifeline that you've thrown. You took a nation that was on the brink of non-existence, that has already been crippled by sanctions, where every proxy in the region has been eviscerated by Israel and kind of the United States, where the whole world is looking at you like, what the fuck? Where your closest ally, Russia, you're having to ship a ton of shit off to. They can't even really help you that much with anything anymore because they're getting fucked in their own little quagmire in Ukraine, right? The lifeline you've thrown to, we're going to go kill 30 people and then we're going to give you the fucking Strait of Hormuz. We're not going to have any restrictions on any weapons or anything that you do, no matter what. Like you've thrown, like, and now you get to make all this money off of energy and everything else. And in the meantime, Russia had all of their sanctions dropped, I believe, so that they can sell all their oil on the market. Like it's just, this is just like an unbelievable lifeline you've thrown to these people for no fucking reason.
It's unacceptable. I know that their missile program advanced significantly. I know that their drone program advanced significantly. I know that that poses a massive threat. Their terror program has advanced massively. And I know they're a major threat to the United States of America. And so knowing that, this is not about Donald Trump or anybody else. This is about standing up.
I mean,
this
he's the president. You think the Iranian mullahs are a greater threat to the American people than Donald Trump getting us into this war? You think the Iranian mullahs are a greater threat? You are more scared of them?
The Iranian government poses a massive...
All right. I'm sorry.
Has posed a massive threat to the United States.
I'm sorry.
Do I think that Donald
I'm sorry for this. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. Josh, I'm sorry. I need to see the AIPAC money to this guy. I got to see the AIPAC. I need to see it. Where do I see how much? Who's donating money to this dude? I'm not buying. There's no shot. This is an unbelievable. Where do I see it? How do I find all of his contributions? Campaign finance summary. Dang, holy shit. These are expensive races. These are Israeli talking points, like 101. Like, it is, like, Iran is the greatest threat. And this is like when a friend in your group comes to you and they're like, guys, Michael is bad news. And it's like, Michael? I don't know. He seems chill. No, 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 no. Let me tell you why. This is the worst guy for our friend group. And it's like, what they're really saying is like, I had a bad experience with him and I need all of you motherfuckers to hate him on my side. Like, what the who is talking? How does America have all of these unknown huge threats to us? That I find out that, like, oh, apparently Venezuela was a massive fucking threat to us and nobody was talking about it. Apparently Haitians were a huge threat to us and MS-13 and Tren de Aragua and Iran. How, where are all these new threats coming from that Trump manages to stand up and tear down the same day he identifies them as a huge threat?
Trump has handled this well? Back to the thing we were talking about? No, obviously not. And I said that.
Yeah, obviously not. So why would we trust him to do something if we know he isn't going to handle it well? Well, this is a very high stakes situation. I don't think anybody, you know, the Strait of Hormuz has now been closed.
We've got the best general, because it's not just Donald Trump that runs this. We've got the best generals in the world and the best military in the world, the best intelligence in the world, the best intelligence community.
I mean, but
the best intelligence in the world. Tim, hit him up with the, tell me you know the counter. We have the best intelligence in the world. And Tulsi Gabbard more or less confirmed to the Congress that they did not make the assessment that Iran posed an imminent threat to the United States. So, and you are on the intelligence whatever committee in the House and you don't know anything. So what do you mean? Why do you assume the intelligence committee is even fucking involved here? It sounds like Netanyahu forwarded Trump a fucking Twitter compilation video of Iranian terrorist attacks. And Trump was like, we got to fucking go right now.
In the world, and the best military in the world, the best intelligence in the world, the best intelligence community.
I mean, but our generals are not the ones that are bleeding out. A whole civilization will die tonight, never to be brought back again. That's the president. That's their boss.
Yes, but okay, but fine.
So why would you?
But fine. I like it doesn't matter.
Oh yeah, it's absurd. Why would you let a guy that would tweet that be in charge of a war where American lives are at risk?
Well, because who's going to be? We have a commander in chief. That's his job.
Oh my god. Oh, what is happening to my country? How did we get here? How did we get here? Who linked me who linked me this YouTube video? Because the person that linked this video to me, they said, Destiny, do you think Tim went too hard on this guy?
Yeah, to oppose him, I think. To say that as a Democratic representative, you do not think that an unhinged commander-in-chief should be getting us into a war where he's promising genocide in Iran.
That's the reason why I opposed it, why I supported the War Powers Resolution a couple weeks ago, because I opposed him. I made it very clear. But like that doesn't mean that I'm not going to support our servicemen and women. It doesn't mean I'm not going to
back
the great work of our military and intelligence community. It doesn't mean that I'm not going to say the government of Iran needs to be crushed. Yeah, that's what I think.
Didn't he say Tim went hard? No? It sounded like he was saying Tim went too hard. He should have... I think Tim should have roasted this guy even further. Oh, my God. This is... Whatever, bro.
So
you're
kind of for it in the abstract. Like, you wish it would work well, but you don't know what the objectives are, and...
He is part of the Blue Dog Caucus. They are all this retarded, but most are in battleground states, so we give them a pass. Battleground states are supposed to be states where you're a Democrat, but you're not like for single payer health care, okay? It's not supposed to be that you have an indistinguishable position from the Republicans on insane foreign policy. I don't even know who likes this war. Nobody even likes this war. This is not popular, even amongst Republicans. Maybe the crazy MAGA people, kind of, but like this won't age well either. This war is not going to age well. Okay.
You don't. You know, want to do.
Link me this guy's district. Everybody keeps saying that this guy's in a tough district. Fuck, that AIPAC tweet, I just made 20% of my audience more anti-Semitic. Or this, I shouldn't have looked this up. Bro, kill me. Hold on. What district is this guy in? New Jersey's 5th district. I can't sort by year. Give me, red. Oh, maybe it is. This district might be kind of, well, wait, am I retarded? Did I just read this wrong? Oh, no, I didn't read it wrong. He's been there for a long time, though. He's been there since 2016. 5 points is a decent margin in 2016 when Trump, that was the year Trump won. 14 points in 2018, off-cycle year, so it's supposed to be high. 2020, when Biden won, 8 points, 7.5. 2022, still off-season for Biden and still did well, 10 points. 2024, 11 points, even though Trump won. He does not, this is, these are big. 11 points is a big margin. Like, 5 and over is a big margin. Okay. Whatever.
Do anything to constrain I
have a huge problem with how this thing's being executed from how it's being executed. The goal of crushing Iran, I think, is the right thing. I think not giving us hearings is a problem. I think not giving us more information, the country and the Congress.
These aren't problems, by the way. These are deal breakers. Like, you can't support this if these basic things aren't happening. It's a deal breaker.
Huge problem. I think firing the Army Chief of Staff, huge problem. Right?
So you ask,
why don't lefties go after this retard? Because lefties can't win in this district. They will only pick the bluest of the bluest of the places.
If you asked me, like, do I think the goal of massively diminishing Iran is a good thing? Totally.
Oh my God.
Do I think the way this is being executed is going well? No.
Do you think we're in a better place now than we were 6 weeks ago, economically, geopolitically?
Well, we got to wait and see how it turns out.
From a safety standpoint, do you think we're in a better or worse place than we were?
We got to wait and see, guys.
I think if we've diminished their military, I think we're stronger. If we've diminished them,
Never mind. Okay, we're stronger. We're better off.
I mean, we've lost.
I mean, he does make a good point. We have diminished our military. And think about all the military attacks from Iran onto the United States over the past couple years. Jeez. You know, I'm acting surprised by this because I was going to compare it to the Afghanistan thing. But I guess technically, this is kind of like what the Doha Agreement. Was it the Doha Agreement or the Doha Accords that we did with the Taliban, where Trump just basically Trump completely and totally unilaterally surrendered all of Afghanistan to the Taliban and left?
Billions of dollars of military materiel that we're going to now have to fund again. Our economic situation is worse. Our relationship with our allies is worse.
If they had 10,000 ballistic missiles, just I'm picking a number yesterday, what? And they have 2,000 today.
Yeah. Were they going to shoot 8,000 of them at Florida or New Jersey? Like, what?
Yeah. What are we worried about? They've been shooting missiles. They've been getting intercepted, and then they fall on and kill Arabs. Like, what do you mean?
What's the risk of that?
We know their missiles are longer range than we expected. They could shoot them at our allies in Europe. They could threaten us. They could threaten our allies.
You think that's what Iran is going to do? Is going to start bombing Europe? You think Iran is going to start shooting missiles past Turkey? They're going to start bombing Europe? What are we doing? What next? Are they going to start bombing India? What are we talking about?
Dirty bombs inside.
What are we
of
talking
Miami.
About? These fucking dirty retarded.
Bombs. In Europe aren't on board with this. They've.
You know, Tim is like, I don't even. Why? What do you even say? What do you even say?
Our allies in Europe aren't on board with this. They've. You know,
they should be like, we just sent the Artemis mission up to the moon. You know that their flight path for about 2 hours puts them right in the possible trajectory of an Iranian interceptor.
They're now hostile to us.
You're asking me one question. I'm answering you. You're saying, you asked me a safety question.
Okay.
You asked me, You asked me a safety question. I said, if we diminish their missiles and their drone program and diminish their nuclear program and their terror programs, the answer would be yes. But part of the frustration is we don't have all the answers that I'd like to have. I've seen some of the things.
You don't have any answers. You have nothing.
And with some of the things I've seen, I think we've made progress in some areas. But you're right. In terms of like the Straits of Hormuz right now, no, that's not acceptable what's going on in the Straits of Hormuz. Would I like to have actually have deeper, like, would I like the president to have been handled this with the country better? Yup. Would I like him to engage the allies? Yup. But I like them done things better all along. Yes. But again, Iran, you asked me about as somebody who studied the region.
I
think diminishing Iran is a good thing. And the answer, you keep trying to get me to say no to that. My answer is yes. Diminishing Iran is a good thing.
No, I'm just trying.
Like, I feel like if anything, this hurts Europe because now Iran is going to have so much more money. Like, is there like an official website where I can read our current sanctions? Like, if we seriously lifted all the sanctions from Iran, there's no way. But I don't know why I'm talking about this, because this is not happening. This can't possibly be happening. Do we currently have no sanctions on the Russian energy? There's no way. I don't know what I'm talking about. I don't even know what I'm saying. I don't know.
I understand. I disagree. I was just trying to understand your position. The son-in-law, I'm curious about that. The president's son-in-law was in the Situation Room discussing this. He was at the negotiation table with Iran. He has received money from Saudi Arabia, who is obviously also supporting this effort. He's in business dealings with Saudi Arabia and other people in the region. Does that concern you at all? I find it hard to imagine that he has the appropriate security clearance for this, given all of his conflicts. I'm just wondering, being on the Intelligence Committee, if that's something that you're concerned
about. Yeah, sure.
About.
You're asking me like if I'm like, but am I good with the way he like bring like who he brings around the table? No, of course. No. Like I don't know where he does that.
Well, no, I don't know. I guess you would know more than me. I know is that Jared Kushner is receiving money from MBS, and that Jared Kushner is also involved at the Board of Peace, and he's pushing to have condos in Gaza, and then simultaneously he's negotiator.
Yeah, you got people in the government with cryptocurrency interests. You got people doing all these things that are in. Yeah, right. By the way,
so that would lead me to not trust the people to do the war. I guess is what, where I'm going.
Yeah, I mean, but by the way, like, yeah, if your question is coming back to like where I think our strengths are, mm-hmm. I think our servicemen and women incredible. I think our leadership incredible. I think our intelligence, the day to day intelligence community incredible, the best in the world. Like, and I have great. Do I have great confidence in our Tulsi Gabbard?
Like, if you think our servicemen are so fucking great, why do you keep sending them off to the most pointless random theaters of war to go die for random shit, right? Like,
no, absolutely not. Like, no, I'm right. But my point is, like, the people who brief, you know, and do a lot of, who do the day-to-day work and who are incredible out there, I have a lot of faith in them, and I think we're very blessed to have such good people.
I think that we have great military capabilities. I'm deeply concerned about our political leadership. You mentioned Tulsi,
and you should be. Yeah.
Yeah. She was testifying. You were asking her about this question about the degree to which Israel influenced our entrance into the war. You've expressed some concern with people scapegoating Israel. So it's important that people don't kind of put this decision on Israel. The Times today has a story where Benjamin Netanyahu was in the Situation Room February 11th and making a pitch to Donald Trump about what their plan was for the war. Trump was impressed with that pitch, according to the New York Times reporting. There were others in the administration who were saying that Bibi was too optimistic about the potential outcomes for regime change and otherwise. And it just seems just like the basic fact is that Israel encouraged us and influenced us to get into the war. Is that not right?
I didn't see that New York Times story. I think the question I asked at the committee, which is the question that I think is important, I asked this of the director of the Central Intelligence Agency, the CIA, and then asked to see if DNI director Gabbard agreed, was what motivated our decision about protecting the United States of America, that we made our decision, or was it because it some had reported because we were, you know, pushed into it by Israel or any other country? The answer was, no, this decision we made to protect the interests of the United States of America.
And it seems like we were pushed into it by Israel, though.
Everything I've seen, or was it because what motivated DNI director Gabbard, and that I think is important, I asked this of the director of the Central Intelligence Agency, the CIA, and then asked to see if DNI director Gabbard agreed, was what motivated our decision about protecting the United States of America, that we made our decision, or was it because it some had reported because we were, you know, pushed into it by Israel or any other country? The answer was, no, this decision we made to protect the interests of the United States of America.
Is he saying Tulsi Gabbard said that? Or, because he listed two people. The fuck? No. Is he saying Gabbard said that?
And it seems like we were pushed into it by Israel, though.
Or he's saying everything I've seen on a classified side reinforces that. But of course, by the way,
Reinforces
that this. Wait, I thought he just said that we didn't have, or they didn't have clear information though about us needing to go to war.
No, that it wasn't.
That it wasn't what?
That Israel didn't, is what he's saying. Everything he's seen says that the United States did it themselves.
Reinforces that there was like strong U.S. interest to go there. Yeah, but I don't know. What is it though? It sounded like earlier he was saying he didn't have that information or didn't know that.
But of course, by the way,
you didn't know that Bibi Netanyahu was in the Situation Room making a pitch to Trump on this war?
I'm not invited to the Situation Room.
What am I doing? What?
I would think that on the classified side, the Intelligence Committee, like you guys, would know that a foreign government was briefing the president on why he should enter a war, right?
No, Article 1 and Article 2, obviously. Article 1, the Congress. Okay. Yeah, we've sure. We've got a classified place where we go, where we get briefed.
Sure.
The White House is, you know, a different article of the Constitution. They do their own thing, as you know. But it's very common to share intelligence with our allies. So if you're telling me if we were doing intelligence sharing and strategic sharing as we do with our allies all the time, that would be completely.
That's not what I'm saying. No, I'm saying that Bibi encouraged Trump to get into the war. I think that that's just a fact, isn't it?
I don't know. I wasn't there.
What are these answers? I don't know. I wasn't there. Like, nobody is saying that you were there. Like, this guy might be mentally challenged. Like, this guy might actually be, like, cognitively deficient or something. Like, he's retardation or something. I don't even know. I don't think I would be able to do this interview. I don't know how I would even respond after that. Like, the guy that was murdering your best friend and stabbed him 20 times with a knife, he really hated your friend, didn't he? I don't know. I can't read his mind. Oh, well, he had a huge knife. Like, and then he showed up with, like, tourniquets and extra guns and everything. Like, he must have been preparing for a while for this attack. I don't know. I wasn't with him. Okay, well, you were... like, I don't know what these answers... I don't know how you'd engage with this!
I think that that's just a fact, isn't it?
I don't know. I wasn't there. I have no idea. What was
Do you think that we would be in the war if BB was against it?
Do I think that we thought that...
I don't know, bro.
It was a national interest for the United States of America to get involved here, which to protect America's national interests. Absolutely.
You think we would have gone alone? Would have done this war alone without BBs?
Again, you're asking me questions that I don't know the answer to.
Well, I
know what I asked. I know what I could what I asked the head of the CIA, and I know what I asked the director of national intelligence.
Well, you said you can't trust the director of national intelligence, so I'm not that surprised that she would lie to you.
Director, but yeah, but it comports with.
I mean, if he actually has no knowledge of the event in question, what should he say? I mean, if he's saying that he feels like there is a compelling reason for the United States to enter this war, and he's part of the Intelligence Committee in the House of Representatives in the United States Congress, and now he's finding out via a New York Times article that a foreign leader was in the White House making the argument for why we should go to war, and he had no knowledge of that, that should bother him. He should say, oh, shit, that's really important information. I'm pretty upset that I didn't have access to that at the time.
What I've been briefed on. But it was the only public setting. The reason I asked that in a public setting is because we don't ever get a public, as you probably know, there's only... Yeah. Like, we don't often get a public setting to ask questions. Most of the stuff we do is in a classified setting below ground. It's not public.
I think one thing, like, we both are, I'm concerned about the increasing anti-Semitism in this country. I know you are. You've talked about it. And so it worries me. Like, I think that an average American.
That's why I'm not on Piker's show and on your
show. Okay, we can talk about that next. I think that an average American would look at this war that we're in and say, I don't understand what our direct interest is. It's costing me more at the pump. We were not responding to a recent terror attack on us from Iran. Obviously, Iran's been attacking us for a long time through proxies. But like, if you're just an average American, you're like, I don't understand why we're doing this. I hear that Bibi Netanyahu was encouraging Trump to do it. I don't think that it's crazy for regular people to look at this in this country and say, okay, I mean, it seems like Israel was influencing us to get into this war. And I don't know why we can't just say that. I think it creates distrust when we can't just say what is true. Like, that's just true.
Tim, how do you know? But you're just asserting to what you just did is exactly what I have a problem with. Right. You are basing something on, like, we have no facts that you weren't in the room.
I mean,
either.
You think the New York Times is wrong? There was a February 11th meeting in the Situation Room. BB was in the Situation Room. You think that's fake news?
Do I think the president and the prime minister have met and talked about Iran many times over the?
Oh my God, dude, this guy should just be a Republican. He's got like all the Republican talking points on lock. Holy shit! Like, oh, now it's illegal for the president to talk to a world leader? He can't do that? Oh, I'm sure they spoke about it. I'm sure it came up.
Years like President Biden did with the prime minister, like President Obama did with the prime minister. Going back like to the beginning of time, do I think people have talked about these threats together, our allies? Absolutely. Do I know
he didn't
what
talk to any other allies? He didn't talk to Japan. He didn't talk to Europe.
Do I know, like, actually what caused the decision? No. And by the way, the New York Times doesn't know. And the only people who know were people who were, like, in the decision inner circle about what actually made them make the decision.
Well, so seems like Bibi was in the decision inner circle. No, they planned it together.
Right. When we have gone into other conflicts before, like Obama did, like Biden just did. Like, do you think that he didn't have consultation with our allies?
Of course he did. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I don't understand why people just why we can't just say this. Why we can't just say it's true.
There's a huge difference between saying somebody made us do it. They pushed us into it versus saying, sure, we consulted with our allies and we thought it was what's best for America's national security.
What else
would you call it? Besides pushed us into it or encouraged him, influenced. What else would you call it? Like, he was in the Situation Room making a pitch on the war 2 weeks before it started. What else would you call that?
I think many presidents, I know because I worked for a president, I think many presidents have met with world leaders and talked about whether or not we should get involved in something or not, if it was good for their national interests, but most importantly for America's national interests. And I think just because they had a meeting in the Situation Room,
it's just a meeting, bro.
So big deal.
It's a pretty big deal. We started a war that Donald Trump said he was running against the war. He said no war with Iran. He did not lay a predicate for the war. There was not an imminent threat.
He was like, listen, you got to do this. So your view is like, they just made us do it and we did it?
I didn't say made. No, you said made. I didn't say that. What I said is that I think that Bibi pitched. I think Trump was high on his own supply after Venezuela, and he thought this is easy to do this.
Probably.
And I think he's like, this is easy doing these little regime change things. This is fun. This is a lot easier than getting things passed through Congress. I got to deal with assholes like Gottheimer. So this, I can be the decision maker. I think Trump's really hot on it, and I think that Bibi went to him and said, hey, these guys in Iran, they tried to kill you. We've got great intelligence. We've got this plan. This could be the moment. They're very vulnerable. We can topple them. And Trump said, hell yeah, I'm on board. So I'm not saying that Trump has agency. I'm not saying that he was tricked or something. But I think that obviously, like, this is something that Netanyahu's wanted to do for a long time. And he made the case to Trump. And Trump said, I'm on board. Like, I just think that obviously happened. No?
I guess history will find out. I have no idea.
Why do you think he did it? Like, why do you think he decided to get in right now?
I think
he was president once before. Iran was a threat then. He's been president for 1 year and 3 months. Why did he decide to do it now?
Because I believe, and this is actually what hopefully we'll find out ultimately, I believe he looked at certain threat intelligence against the United States of America and made a decision what he thought was best as the commander in chief. Right. I think that's what happened. He looked at the facts.
You thought there was a threat? Like, we had a threat? Like, an imminent threat on the homeland?
I mean, Tim, you're asking me to answer questions that I don't know the answer to.
Okay. You said that based on intelligence, that he looked at the threat assessment.
I think you're asking me how I think he made his decision.
If you're a regular American, I appreciate it.
Talks to the military and makes a decision.
Yeah.
I mean, that's probably what he did.
Yeah, this is just very I understand. I'm sorry. This is frustrating. I just think that it's like, if a congressman who is on the intelligence committee doesn't know why Trump decided to do it and there's no tangible imminent threat, and Trump has been president once before and he said he wasn't going to do a war with Iran, and all of a sudden he's like, hey, I'm going to go to war with Iran, and the result is that American soldiers die and that people see a massive increase in their price of gas, like, people are going to be like, what in the hell is happening? And I think that they would have a right to be upset about it. Don't you agree that people would be that's people should have a right to be upset about that? If, like, you don't even know why we did it?
By the way, what I said was, you asked me, like, what was the conversation, what happened in a strategic decision. I wasn't there. But I'll tell you this. What I said to you was, I've seen intelligence over time and seen threats from Iran and, like, where I see very deep concerns that people like me had. Do I know what ultimately made him make the decision, as you're asking me? No, I wasn't there. I wasn't in the Situation Room. This is why I actually believe the War Powers Act was triggered. I believe the president has 60 days to come to us to ask for an authorization of force or for a declaration of war. I think April 28th is coming up very fast. I think the expectation from all of us in Congress will be, you will lay out exactly your objectives, your reasoning, your timelines, and your goals. And if you want funding, you will do the same thing. You either get an AUMF, or you will get a declaration of war, or you will get the hell out. And that's what I believe. And I think, by the way, where I started this conversation, Tim, was he still hasn't laid out clearly to me, to the American people, or to the Congress, what he hopes to achieve, what a win looks like for the commander in chief.
Gotcha.
There's only one commander in chief. There's not 635 or 535 or 435. There's only one commander in chief. And so I say that because he has to make certain decisions. He has access to certain information that I don't have. Even though I'm on the Intelligence Committee, I'm not on I don't get access to all the military stuff. I don't get access to everything. The point is, the president should come make the case before the Congress. His people should come make the case. They should go before our committees. They should lay this out, the answers to the questions that you're asking and that I have questions about as well, and make the case to the public. And so you're asking me, like, what I'm pissed off about? That's what I'm pissed off about. Are you asking me, do I think Iran, the government deserves, do we deserve to take down the government of Iran, this regime who's killed tens of thousands of their own people and killed scores of Americans with death to America as their banner? Do I think they should get them? Absolutely. And that you asked me that as well. And I'm not changing my view on that. That's what my view is.
So that's the last thing. So you're a gettable vote for authorization military force if they came to you and said, hey, here's what our plan is. After April 28th, we have another month. We need you to get a funding. Would you be open to voting for it?
I don't do hypotheticals. I want to know what the hell their argument is. I'll meet with them.
You don't do hypotheticals. Imagine it's a job interview and they're like, okay, a customer comes up to you and they want a full refund, but they don't have the receipt. What would you do? I don't answer hypotheticals, motherfucker. Oh. Imagine you're taking a test for the bar exam. And it's like, a client makes blah, 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 blah. You know, what's the proper... I don't do hypotheticals. I live in the present. I live in the now, okay?
I'm going to understand where we are and get that information, and then I'll make a decision.
Like, well, not doing hypotheticals is an answer in itself, because it's not a no. You're not a no. Like, some people would just be a no right now. This is insane.
By the way, that is deeply irresponsible to just say no that before getting briefed
it's deeply irresponsible to give Donald Trump, who threatened to end a civilization today, 1 cent for a war.
Hey, Tim, if I learned tomorrow they had something that could cause mass destruction to you and to your family, I would have a very different view.
Of course. But nobody's even saying that they have.
Wait. How did this guy just get healed? This cat, how did he just get healed? Somebody explain.
That's why I actually would want to do my homework and understand what our military has to tell me about where we are, what the situation is. Right?
All right. And I apologize. I wanted to do AI. I wanted to
push the food under the enemy cat. The attack can push food? You can knock back food pickups?
Piker, but it's just I'm just trying to get to the answer, because I guess this is the frustrating thing about this conversation. I do apologize, because this is a frustrating thing. It's like, we're in this thing and they can't explain it, and so now we have to kind of process their incoherence. And to me, I just think it's much easier to oppose it. It's very upsetting.
We've got troops on the ground in harm's way. We've got a strait that obviously is not under our control. We've got ships that are stuck. I'm very pissed off about the situation. But at the end of the day, I'm going to do my job. And that's what I feel deep responsibility to do my job.
Fair enough. We have a rain check for you to yell at me about Piker and do AI another time.
Better stuff. Come on.
What do you want to do? Okay, we can do it now. What do you want to do? I got nowhere to be. I was being respectful of your time. But we could do a rain check. We could do it now. Whatever you want.
Okay, well, I have 5 minutes, it looks like.
You have 5 minutes. All right, let's do it. I think that's fair. 5 minutes. You get to pick. Do you want to yell at me about Hassan Piker? Do you want to talk about AI? I'm concerned about AI. I'd love to hear
you. I'm not yelling about Hassan Piker unless you want to say that we should. Are you a big Hassan Piker fan?
I'm not a big Hassan.
It's going to be exclusively about anti-Semitism. I'm ready for it.
Hassan Piker fan. I think that the Democrats should have a message for their audience, though.
Are you concerned? And should we also go on Alex Jones and talk to him?
Well, I think that it would be probably pretty good for the Democrats to go on to some MAGA podcasts, America First podcasts, and talk to them about the ways that Donald Trump has betrayed them. Yeah, I think that would probably be good. I mean, you have to make a decision on a case-by-case basis. Some of these people are just trolls. But if somebody has to have a have a good faith conversation. Yeah, sure.
I would not like to legitimize like Candace Owens.
I mean, Candace Owens is talking about how Brigitte Macron is a dick and like there's bees, the kill, you know, a bee cult. So I probably wouldn't do that one either. But if somebody disagrees, that's fine.
Do I think we should legitimize people who are like white? Like should people, Democrats, go on white supremacist shows and say, well, they deserve to be heard because they have a lot of followers? No, I mean, like, we should have a debate with them because they're like, you know, I that's just not what I believe. I don't believe you should legitimize people who are white supremacists. So like, I would not recommend that we go on a bunch of white supremacist shows because they have a lot of followers. Right. Like, I don't think that's a good outcome for the country.
I think it's bad if you let all the cranks align onto one side. And sometimes, it's important to have a message for people. I'm not saying that, again, not legitimized. You can argue. We argued. You came on today. That's fine. There's nothing wrong with a good, healthy debate. But and I wouldn't go on some like basement podcast of some white supremacist nobody's ever heard of. But if there's a prominent America First person or a prominent far left person.
What are you talking about?
Oh, yeah, exactly. There's a prominent far left person that could hear an argument. I'm for that. I don't think the Democrats did this with any favors by being like burn the witch when Bernie went on Joe Rogan. I don't think that paid off. So I don't know. I'm for talking. I'm a talker. I'm a yapper, Josh.
People to profit and amplify insane views that are deeply offensive to lots of Americans, and like that's part of my concern, is not like giving legitimacy to them. And if you're, what you're saying is you just go on and scream at them and tell them why they're crazy the whole time, then okay, maybe
I go on and try to be rational, make the case. I mean, this goes back to our earlier conversation about Israel. Like, I think that one way to give legitimacy to anti-Semitic cranks is to like tell them that they can't believe their lying eyes. Like, I think that conflating, Jewishness with every decision that Bibi Netanyahu makes, I think gives ammo to anti-Semitic cranks.
I think the insane amount of disinformation that I see out there on a daily basis about Israel, about Jews, about different organizations is so insane. Like the fake
shit. There's a lot of bad info out there, no doubt.
Fake shit that's put out there on a daily basis, like, is so nuts. That like, I don't want to give more credibility to people who propagate bullshit and lies and disinformation. And I think we got to be very careful.
Yeah.
Anyway,
I don't either.
We're going to do AI next time.
We're going to do AI next time. Okay. It was your fault. You got to pick. I was going to let you pick. Okay. Congressman Josh Gottheimer, bro. Thank you very much for coming on. See, having a disagreement across,
same party lines.
All right, brother. We'll see you soon. Okay.
Wow.
Late Tuesday night, President Trump.
What a guy.
Say you love Israel right now.
Fuck no. Some guy sent me an email. I don't know what to think about it. But basically that, like, remember, this administration likes to show us everything and brag about every possible fucking thing they can. And the pilot that went down, it's not like the pilot is like a CIA operative or something. And he was saying that he thinks the pilot in Iran died, and the whole story about extracting him was completely made up. Because if this guy was alive, he'd be doing interviews, Trump would be giving him awards or whatever. I feel like if this guy was alive, like, we would see him at like the State of the Union or whatever. Trump would absolutely give this dude like a, I don't know, like a Purple Heart or some shit. I don't know.
Wait, what?
Trump's tariff talking points. Trump claimed tariffs would benefit the American economy in a big way. Can you draw what really happened? On April 2nd of last year, a little over 2 months into his second term, President Donald Trump unveiled sweeping tariffs on imports from almost all countries. Though this was not the first announcement of tariffs from the Trump administration, Liberation Day, as the White House dubbed it, was a pivotal moment in Trump's trade agenda. In his remarks that day, Trump made broad claims about how tariffs would reap economic benefits for America, including increasing growth, reducing the trade deficit, and creating manufacturing jobs. Since then, the U.S. tariffs on many impacted countries has been renegotiated, caveated, and even revoked. In February, the U.S. Supreme Court ruled that Trump didn't have the constitutional authority to impose universal tariffs under the International Emergency Economic Powers Act, immediately invalidating the Liberation Day tariffs. Trump quickly reimposed a temporary global tariff of 10% on all U.S. imports under the new legal provisions that are valid for 150 days before needing congressional approval. A year after Liberation Day, what really happened in the U.S. economy? Have tariffs had the impact Trump claimed they would? We are giving you the reader the power to guess for yourself. Draw on the charts below what you think happened to the trade deficit, trade with China, and tariff revenue, among other metrics, and then see how correctly you guessed. A major motivation Trump gave for imposing tariffs was to reduce the U.S. trade deficit with other countries. This chart shows the goods trade deficit, or the difference between the value of goods imported by the U.S. and the value of the goods it exports. It's negative because the U.S. imports more goods than it exports, so that's a hint. Did the deficit get even bigger, or did it reduce in 2025? Draw what you think happened. Well, let's see. Tariffs should theoretically reduce the trade deficit. However, U.S. dollar, I think, has been losing value, which would also reduce the trade deficit, right? Weaker dollar means it's easier for people to buy other things from us. I feel like the trade deficit should have decreased, but maybe slightly. But also, this seems like a negative article, so I'm going to go up to here. Let's see what happened. I feel like I've read that the deficit got worse, though, but I'm trying not to bias my... Okay, well, not good. In the same speech on April 2nd, Trump described the U.S. as looted, pillaged, raped, and plundered by nations near and far. Both friend and foe alike. If that was the case a year ago, then it is still the case today. Though there were month-to-month fluctuations in the trade deficit, overall, the U.S. trade deficit for goods in 2025 was record high at $1.23 trillion. Trump has been particularly focused on the U.S. trade deficit with one of its largest trading partners, China, and has added a cascade of tariffs on China imports worth billions of dollars. In turn, China retaliated with export curbs, counter duties on American goods, but then suspended most of those retaliatory measures in November last year after both countries reached a trade truce. The next chart shows the goods deficit with the top U.S. trading partners in 2024, with China in the top spot. With which countries did the U.S. goods deficit get bigger or smaller? I have no fucking idea. Mexico should have gotten smaller, right? I feel like we're pretty reliant on China. I think we just get fucked by these people, no? I don't know for any of these. I'm going to guess a little worse on everything, but could that really be the case? No way, right? Oh, with China, it decreased substantially.
Who would know the answer to all of these things?
The goods trade deficit with China shrank from 202 billion from 295.5. However, record... goods trade deficits reported with Mexico, Vietnam, Taiwan, Thailand, and India. Thus, tariffs did not reduce overall deficit as much as shift imports from one source to another. The brunt of import tariffs on China has largely fallen on U.S. consumers via higher prices on Chinese-made goods, while U.S. exporters, depending on the Chinese markets, such as for soybeans and cotton, have also raised pressure while trying to find alternative buyers. How much tariff revenue do you think the U.S. government collected in 2025? This was around, like, $250 billion, I think, right? Could have been close. Fuck you. Okay, it was higher than that. U.S. tariff revenue was $287 billion in 2025. It rose by nearly 200% compared to the prior year. Although a significant increase, the tariff amount was much smaller compared to over $2 trillion raised through individual income taxes in fiscal year 2025. While the tariffs were imposed on imports from foreign countries, a February 2026 report by the New York Fed highlighted that nearly 90% of the tariffs' increased economic burden was shouldered by U.S. firms and consumers. Monthly manufacturing jobs. I feel like our jobs market has been stalling. Stalin, get it? Stalin! Oh, Stalin! Oh my god! That's it. Manufacturing job numbers have fallen by 71,000 between April 2025 and March 2026. Manufacturing economic activity contracted for 8 consecutive months until December before reviving in January. That's not... U.S. monthly durable goods inflation. I don't fucking... whatever. Have we already calculated GDP growth for 2025? Oh my god. Dude, I just know everything. I'm basically psychic. Let's go with it. What was the public opinion during the Lewinsky scandal? All I see are people calling Bill crazy for fumbling someone who looks like Sabrina Carpenter. I mean, it was a huge shame for... it was really bad for everybody involved, I think.